Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Rest is a word for all seasons, in all times. Resting in the Lord is always an on-time word. Amen, somebody? Absolutely is. And I'm showing a picture of a surfer. Now, I took this picture in California many years ago. I was on a pier, and the pier was close to where surfers were surfing. And so that's why it looks like I was right on top of him, but I was really just on the pier looking down. This man on the surfboard is resting. He is resting in the sense of I define rest as using the power of another. He is riding the power of that wave. Now, he has to work at it. It's not easy, but he couldn't swim near as fast or go near as far, you know, just stroking with his arms and legs as he could on a surfboard riding a wave. And that's the thought that came to me about what it means to rest in the Lord. That, of course, we need physical rest. Let me highlight that. Physical rest is important. We know how important rest is, right? Because we know what a lack of rest does to us. And we know that. So my point is, yeah, physical rest is key. Now, I'm talking about, though, a different kind of rest. You still have to have what the Bible calls resting in the Lord. And it looks like what this surfer's doing, because when you're awake and when you're on the move and when you're doing things and when you're working, you got to find a way to keep it, stay at rest while you're doing all those things. Rest is not doing nothing. Rest is not like sleeping and activity, laying down, sitting. Spiritual rest is quite different. We're going to talk about that here today. So my topic today is the rest of God, using the power of another. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to also reference chapter 3 in the midst of this study, because there is so much that God wants to say through us. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me read to you first of all, because you want the context. So verse 1, Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel, the good news, or good news in general, was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they, referring to Israel, the word they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, referring to the previous instance, when he says, I swore they would not enter, referring to Israel back in Numbers 13 and 14, that when he sent those 12 spies into the land, he told them, I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of provision. He says, go and see what it's like. Now, listen to me. If God tell you what it is and then go say, go see what it's like, that's a test. Because God just told you it's good. But see, it's one thing for God to say something and a different thing for us to see it. A lot of times people do not see what God has plainly said. So he said, go over there and send 12 spies. They sent 12. And, you know, 10 of them had a bad report. They said, there's giants over there, and they are, you know, we're as grasshoppers in their sight and in our own sight. They went straight to a place and said, yes, it does have everything God said, but it also has all these giants, as if God didn't know that. So story you know, but Joshua and Caleb tried to steal the voices when they brought back reports. No, stop talking like that. We are well able to overcome them. Abigail said, no, we cannot overcome them. They are stronger than we. That was the whole problem right there. So Hebrews is talking about that exact instance when they provoked the Lord by bringing back that evil or bad report. So we're going back to our text, Hebrews chapter 4. That's why I said verse 3 again. For we who have believed do enter the rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now, this goes back to creation in Genesis. So he's using the word rest in different ways. I'll explain in a moment. Now, he's now taking us back. First, he showed us how people wouldn't trust him back in Numbers. They wouldn't rest. They couldn't have rest because they wouldn't trust God. Now we're going back and showing what rest in a different way is, since his rest is the completion of something. Now, God did not rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. Amen. And he sanctified that seventh day, day of rest, Sabbath day, right? So that's what that reference is to creation. Now, going on, verse 5, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. So God is saying, because the people didn't see my completion in the promised land, they can't have rest. You got to see God is finishing things in your life. That's why we say we're healed. Not because we're not still struggling, but because we know God finished it. God said what he said. Yeah, I still got giants, but I still got my land too. The land is mine. Despite my symptoms, I am healed. See, God just wants to know, will you see, do you choose to see what he's showing you? Because God says, I have finished the work. And you're saying, I don't see it, I don't see it, I don't see it. We need to see what God says. Say, I need to see what God says. I mean, see it in your faith. You won't always see it in your circumstances. You won't feel it. You believe it. And that's why the Bible says we rest in that way, that like God rested on the seventh day because he finished. In fact, the seventh day, the rest has never ended. See, he finished it and it's finished forever. Now, let's keep going here. Verse 6. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen. So God has said, it is certain that I am doing what I said I would do. I am manifesting my purpose, and all I want you to do is to agree with it. Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, what else? Evidence of things not seen. Well, then today, whether it's today or tomorrow, whatever you sense God speaking, you know he has given a promise for you, that is today. And so God requires you to believe him today. Not to say, well, I'll work on it and I get around to it by next week, I should be good. No, God says, no, I'm already good. And if I said it, that should be enough for you. God's word should be enough for us. Amen. This is why people can't find rest, because of not paying attention, of disobedience, and so forth. Now watch this. We're in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. For if Joshua could have given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now, Joshua was a great leader, but Joshua still recognized a day would come when Jesus would come to give people rest in their souls. Joshua, Moses, Joshua, they all did a great work, but they couldn't take the people but so far, because we're talking about the promises of God, not the promises of Moses, not the promises of Joshua, but the promises of God. And so the text, the Hebrews writer is trying to get us to see that Jesus is the one who has made the promise that can give you the rest of for your soul, for your life, that no one else can give you. But it requires us to pay attention, requires us to believe, requires us to see what the Lord is saying. Say, I want to see what the Lord is saying. So he keeps saying that there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. There remains a rest. There's a provision for us called rest. In fact, the very first verse, verse 1 of chapter 4 said, since a promise remains of entering that rest, let us fear lest any of you have seemed to come short of it. Now, some of y'all seem to have come short. Sometimes I seem to have come short. We know it because we continue to complain. We continue to find fault. We continue to find reasons and excuses for not doing what God says. We continue to see problems after God said, I have solved that problem. I'm not saying problems don't go away. I'm trying to tell you, you got to look through the problems to see what God is doing. There's always going to be a problem. There's always going to be a problem. And we'll always have problems. But the Bible says there remains a rest, so that when God gives you confidence and faith, he gives you some solutions, some answers to your questions, that's when you want to say, thank you, Lord. Help me see this and see it clearly. That's what happened when God sent the 12 spies into the promised land. Again, God told them, now, I have over there, there's provision. There is abundance. Everything you need is over there. God said, go see what it is like. And they went over there again. 10 guys said, yeah, well, okay, well, God said, oh, it's over there, but there are giants, there are obstacles, there's trouble over there. And then they began to talk about that to the point where, listen to me, if 12 people are charged to go look at something and come back and tell a million people what they saw, then whatever they say is going to influence everybody else. That's why it's so important to walk by faith. I'm not telling you not to deny your problems or to deny that you hurt. But when people don't know anything and all they hear from you is what's wrong and what the problem is and how big it is and how bad the devil is and all this kind of stuff, then you've just discouraged people you could have helped. Amen? You know, all of us who are called to leadership and to ministry, you know, God said, go preach the gospel and go win souls and be fishers of men. And he didn't tell me, though, but all the demons lurking around. He didn't tell me I would experience betrayal and heart. He didn't tell me all that, because God knew that wasn't for me to know. That would keep me, that would discourage me and keep me out of the ministry, right? He didn't deceive me. He just knew I didn't even know that right now. He knew that if he built up my faith and helped me see purpose and vision and see loving and helping people to be the most important thing, then the setbacks, which are really more few, way fewer than the victories, then he knew if he would show me the glory of blessing people and loving people and God, then the problems would not slow me down. But if all you show somebody is what's wrong, then the little good they see won't help them. They'll still go back to, well, yeah, but what about all these problems? You follow me? That's why it's so sad to see sometimes children are not raised and given confidence. You know, they're made to be afraid. Parents cuss at their kids. You know what's going on here sometimes. And all we have, we have police arresting children and put them in handcuffs and stuff. I mean 5-year-olds. That kind of stuff damages a child. You know what I'm saying? So here's the thing. We have to cultivate the ability to be able to rest in the Lord, to be able to trust Him. We do not naturally trust God. We naturally live in fear. We are naturally fearful. But we are supernaturally empowered to trust God. Amen? Let me get through this. I got to get through this. There's so much here. So much here. Now, so let's go on. We're in Hebrews chapter 4. And again, it says in verse 9, there remains therefore rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself ceased from his own works as God did from his. He just told you right there what rest is. You rest when you cease from your own works. Well, how can I got to work. Not talking about working a job. Not talking about working. They're talking about from your efforts, from your strength, doing things your way. Whenever you do something God's way, that's not your works. That's the works of God. But when we jump in the middle and try to figure it out, now we're picking up this whole load and trying to carry it, and you can't carry it. You can for a minute, but it breaks you down, right? So he's telling us that you will begin to rest when you cease from your own labors. When you say, Lord, you said it, you completed this part of it, let me trust you now. You know, we all got devices and cars. Now, some of us in here can work on cars. Elder Hudson can, Elder Owens can, some of y'all can. The rest of us, you're going to just mess it up. You know what I'm saying? I hear a sound. I'm going to raise my hood and look up under there and begin messing with stuff. You're going to hurt yourself and hurt the car. It's like that. The car was manufactured completed. Amen. It's just completed. It's ready to go, right? And whatever has to be done to it, let someone handle that who knows how it works, who made it. You follow me? Amen. I'm trying to say to you that in your life, in your situations, in your circumstances, don't go in there messing with things without the guidance of God, without the peace of God, the instruction of God, the wisdom of God. Amen. That's right. Because all we can do is make it worse. Mm-hmm. You know, I do consulting work with technologies and ministries and so forth. And I get calls every now and then. It's not working. Last time I saw it, it was. See, folks don't want to tell you that they did something. They want to just say, it's not working now. It's broke. Well, these things just don't break all by themselves. Not this type of stuff. So we find out by and by, someone did something that seemed to be very minor, but that minor thing, it led to a chain of errors that broke the whole system. My point is, we sometimes do the same things with ourselves. Rather than pray, seek scripture, or godly counsel, we go straight to trying something. Amen, somebody? Amen. Keep going here. All right. Hebrews chapter 3 is on the screen here. I got this on the screen. Now, I want to show you that because you love God. You love God? Amen. Raise your hands. Let me show you. Yeah, I love God. Yeah, we love him. I know you love God. Well, if you love him, do what he says. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, follow me. Now, in this text here, the Bible says in Hebrews 3 and 5, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken after. But Jesus, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm to the end? What he's saying here is that Moses was really faithful to his house, Israel. Moses was a really good man, faithful man, a friend of God. He took care of his business with God's house. He's saying here that Jesus takes care of his house. He says, whose house are we? Amen. We are the house of God today. And Jesus is managing his business. Jesus takes care of his people. You believe this? Amen. Now, it may not look like it. You may not seem like it. You don't feel it. But believe me, Jesus is taking care of his people. But he needs his people to pay attention. He needs his people to pay attention. How many times we have had instruction from somebody, teacher, coach, parent. And so we just we made a mess, not because we weren't told, but we were not paying attention to what was said. Right? We missed an instruction. So the Bible here says that we are the house of God if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end. So God's plan and purposes is always to help us. I mean, no, God, listen, y'all, God loves you. God may be angry, but he's never against you. God never changes his mind about loving you. Nothing can make God stop loving us. Now, he isn't always pleased with us, but God will always love you. And so because that's true, his plan and God's purpose is always to help us, empower us, and give us a future. But we have to do what? Pay attention. You got to pay attention. I wish I could just make that really real. You got to pay attention. Just think for a moment of what we've all missed out on for not paying attention. So I want to share with you this. Let me just get into this now. So he told us about the incident in Numbers 13, 14. I already talked about that. Let me go back for a moment here. Hebrews 4 and 7 again says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now, with a hard heart is something that happens in people when they ignore God over and over again. Right? You know, if I got a scar right here on my thumb. You can't see it from there, but I got a scar. And it has a little bit of feeling in it, not much. I cut this when I was a child on a rusty can. I was running through somewhere and fell over and cut that. It almost cut it off. It got stitched up. But where it got stitched is way less sensitive. Come on. You know, and so sometimes, you know, we cut and we heal and cut and heal. If you let stuff get cut and keep cutting things and healing things, if we keep allowing injury to our sense of obedience to God, it becomes what the Bible calls a seared conscience, like a burn or a cut that loses sensitivity. That's what I'm trying to get you to see, okay? So he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Again, back in it, when Israel rebelled against God's instruction. And in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. That is, they tested God, tried God, and God said, you're not going. You're not going to go in the promised land. You're going to circle in the wilderness for 40 years until all of y'all die. And I'll take the children in. I'll take your children. Y'all not going, he said back then. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. Oh, man. Wow. Now, it's one thing if somebody say that to you, but if God say that, that's a problem. So we don't want to be like the generation that God said, these folk, they always go astray in the heart. Now, when God knows someone's always going astray, he's through using them. Now, he's not through loving them, but he's through trying to use them. He just sit them on, oh, just go sit over there, because you always go astray. You always go astray. So we don't want to be like that, amen? So we cultivate obedience by always being obedient. Listen, I don't care what it is. If God say turn off TV in the middle of the football game and pray, turn the TV off. Hit record. Turn it off. You got to wait now. You know what I'm saying? Just do DVR. We have no excuse. If God say I want you to go over there and preach to somebody. Well, my car won't start. Well, take an Uber. Oh, okay, that's right. Cab, Uber, bus. See, if you really want to, you want to obey God, there's a way to obey God. Take the red line, you know what I'm saying? If you want to obey God, it's free. Red line is free till tomorrow, okay? They extended it? Okay, well, so kind of have to. It's kind of got some problems. But here's the thing. You do not want God thinking that you just can't be trusted to carry something forward. You don't want people thinking that way about you either. Amen. All right. So then we emphasize the point that when we learn to rest in God, resting in God is about trusting God. Now, there's three ways in which the word rest is used in this text. First, he's using rest as we would use the word peace. Peace. So one meaning, one context of the use of the word rest is peace. When you have rest, when you rest in God, you have peace with God. The second meaning of the word, use of the word, is as referring to the promised land. That for the Israelites, the promised land was their place of rest, where the provision was. But I suggest to you that your promised land is whatever God said to you. Whatever he promised you, wherever he promised to take you, that's your promised land. Third, this word rest is used referring to when God rested after 6 days of creation, right? So he worked 6 days and then he rested seventh day. And so that is the sense of completion, that when you finish something, you can rest, not because you're tired, but because it is finished. And the thing about things that are finished is this: something that is completed can be used and enjoyed for a long time. You know, when you finish a project, maybe doing something in a house, you paint the house, you can enjoy that for a while. You can enjoy that fresh paint, can't you? Or when you get a new car, you can enjoy that. When you finish school, you can enjoy the fruits of education. When you complete a project, it's great to finish something, and so you can enjoy it for a long time. Well, God finished creation. We're enjoying it. Amen. I mean, many of us have finished certain levels of our Christian growth and development. Or we've been to some kind of Bible training. Point is, when you finish something, you get to rest. You get to enjoy it. So think of rest in those three ways. Now, let me apply that in three ways. So again, when you have peace, the rest, which is peace, then having God's peace itself in your heart, in your life, that's a blessing. You know why? I wouldn't trade peace for anything. Amen. I mean, the peace of God to me is so important. I will stay out of arguments. Amen. I'll stay out of strife. I mean, I want to avoid everything, but I want to be careful about what I engage in, because some things will literally disturb your peace. That's right. And it's just not worth it. Amen. Second, just like God sent Israel to the promised land, that was their rest. Your rest is entering into your places of purpose. The things you're doing in your life, your career, your ministries, how you volunteer, what you're doing in this ministry, juvenile center, women's prison, you know, whatever you're doing through this ministry or on your own, When you do those things consistently, Dad been going to Willow Mission for probably some 30 years. I mean, those are places of purpose. You are at rest when you're doing what God told you to do. You're at rest. And conversely, you're uneasy when you're not doing what God wants you to do. And so, and finally here, you rest when you're resting from your labors because of completion. Again, just said that. Now, until we retire, we won't completely stop. Don't think of rest as sitting doing nothing. No, this type of rest is not sitting and doing nothing. This type of rest is a mindset. It's a recognition. And you recognize stages of completion. So, for example, I showed you a video last week we did of, for the ministry anniversary highlights. Now, that video took about 25 hours to complete. Don't seem, how's that? Well, it, believe me, it's more than it seems. 18-minute video took 25 hours because of just having to sort through all the options. You know, it's amazing how a longer video is easier than a short video. Think about it. If it's a long one, throw everything in there. Play it back, you know. But to go in and to shorten it, you got to go through everything to bring it down, make it shorter. It's really difficult. That's why, you know, it costs a lot when you do these things. It's hard. Point, though, is this. But there was a moment when I knew I'd finished it. Now, I had two moments I finished. I thought I finished it, and I found mistakes. Go back in it, fix it, back in it. But when I finally fixed everything, and it was done, and I put it out there, I could rest physically, but I could rest also knowing that this assignment is complete. It feels good to get something done. Further, something that people can enjoy for a long time. Just watch it again and rejoice over that part and see something new. So my point is, whatever you're doing in your life, on your job, you should seek to have the rest of completing stages of what you're doing. I'm in school, I got 3 more years. Well, rejoice over getting the assignment done. Find something to rejoice over, right? Because for a long journey, you can't put your mind on how long this thing is. Put your mind on short-term goals. Find something to be happy about. That's what I'm saying, amen. All right. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Okay. Jesus said this. This is so key. Jesus said this, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now this, Jesus, of course, is a point to this whole message here. And when I say to you that rest is using the power of another, another is capital A, God, I'm talking about Jesus. Use the power of another. So the guy riding the surfboard, again, you know, he's surfing. And a surfer is using the power of the water, the power of the wave. He's not swimming. He may swim to get out there, but he'll ride back on the wave, right? You know, you could choose to walk down the street or let someone take you in their car. And there are ways in which you all the time are allowing the power of another to carry you. You can walk the stairs or take the elevator. Now, stairs is more healthy, you know, I understand that. But thank God for elevators, amen. But Jesus said this, despite whatever you're dealing with, even cramped airline seats, listen to me, you can set your mind. He can help you set your mind, and you can endure things you think you couldn't endure. Now, Sean shared about her going to Atlanta at the same moment, getting news of her sister being taken to the hospital. She loves her sister. You know, she loves her sister and do anything for her sister. but she had confirmed reservations, airline tickets. She had to decide, do I go, do I not go to Atlanta, or do I go? Well, she went to the conference, and God took care of her sister. But these are the hard choices we make. But because we rest in the Lord, He give us grace and strength to make the choices we have to make. I promise you, being in Africa 6 times, being away from home, missing my wife and family is really, really, really big to me. It's like, it's a gigantic problem being gone from home. We had 2 weeks on this last trip. 2 weeks. But God called me to go into all the world. And Pat knew that. You know, we've always known that. All I'm saying is, you can't do hard things without resting in the Lord. You'll never be settled in decisions that are difficult if you don't rest in the Lord. If you don't cease from your own labors and cast all the cares on Him. And as Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. That's the biggest one. Take my yoke upon you. Now, the yoke we know was the instrument that joined animals. When animals would plow a field, oxen had this, the thing between them was called a yoke. Had their heads in it, and they both could pull together. So Jesus says, get in here with me. Get in here with me. Get in here with me. So that when you look over, there I am. When you don't know what to do, here I am. Get in here with me. Get in here with me. Put my yoke upon you. That's what he's saying. Let me partner with you. Stop trying to do things all by yourself. Let me partner with you. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. See, once you get with God, everything becomes easier because He is carrying the weight of it. He's carrying the weight of this thing. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. That's what I want to say right now. Thank God for Jesus. So He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Well, I have labored and I've been heavy laden. A lot. And every time it happens, I do what he says right here. I do exactly this right here. And it looks like this. Looks like prayer. Looks like prayer. It looks like prayer, reading the Bible, and meditating on what God said. It looks like getting myself and being still. I mean, actually physically still for a little bit and gathering myself here and say, Lord, okay. I'm in this yoke with you. You're not with me. I'm with you. Amen. I board a flight, and I always think all y'all are with me right now. On my airplane. I say it to myself, you know. We all good. Because me and all believers in this plane, y'all with us. We're not with y'all. Y'all with us. You know what I'm saying? Because God is with us. Amen. Now, listen, I got a reason for saying it. I'm not saying arrogantly. I'm saying because that's what God told Paul. When they put Paul on a ship as a prisoner, he was a prisoner on a ship that was destined to have shipwreck. And Paul saw it. God told Paul about it. And so Paul told people, said, don't worry about it. Because God told me that God's going to keep me and all those that are with me. Everybody's with me. So that's why I say that, okay? I'm not being arrogant. That's what God told Paul, and I claimed it. Amen? Amen. 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 Jesus knows that we live in a weary and a worn down generation. People sleep 8 and 10 hours a night, wake up saying, I'm tired. Because the tiredness is mental. It's emotional. And to be sure, you know, our modern society puts a lot of pressure on people. I mean, just job issues, people issues. I mean, there's things that are really stressing people. There's injustice going on and people insult you from time to time. And there are things going on that bring pressure to your life. All the more reason to come to me, he said, right? Come to me. So what we see today is not just weariness of body, but weariness of soul and spirit. But again, Jesus said, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. So again, rest is ceasing from your own efforts, but also rest is a mindset. You set your mind, your heart a certain way. Amen? Set your mind and heart a certain way. And it's amazing how God helps us do that. You can get through difficult things when your mind and heart have been set the right way. Now, we all have to do labor and carry some burdens. We do some things, but, you know, we should work, but we should not labor. I mean, mentally speaking, we got work to do. It was work for y'all to go down to the conference, even though it was a conference to bless you. It took work to get there. And again, airports are tough. Airports are stressful now. And we all fly in coach, you know what I'm saying? If you fly first class, business class, it's different. I flew business class one time, and it ruined me. It absolutely ruined me. I was in coach all the time. I got used to it. I got adjusted to it. I made it work. I coped. Then I got that business class upgrade and for the long flight from Nairobi to Paris. And then the seat went back into a bed. They put a blanket over you, put your seatbelt over top of you. You rise back up. They bring out food on china and silverware. I mean, silverware, glasses and things. I'm like, my goodness, people sitting way over there, away from me. And oh, man, let me stop. I'm messing myself up now. Now, here it is. I'll believe God next time I fly to fly business class. Amen. I'll raise an offering. I'll raise an offering for an extra $4,000. Amen. Now, so you know, when I did fly business, I got upgrade for $300. Priceline. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, listen. We all have to carry responsibility. But how you carry it determines if you'll have labor and heavy laden sense, or if you let the Lord give you the right mindset. Because the fact is this, y'all, in America, you don't have it as hard as some people have it elsewhere. We know this, don't we? I'm not trying to compare. I'm just saying, at least keep perspective that as bad as it is sometime in your life, just know that somebody somewhere is much worse for them. Amen. So that helps a little bit to keep your mind straight. Now, we all work to fulfill our responsibilities. We all have obligations, things we got to do. But to labor is to toil to the point of weariness and distress. Now, sometime I'll get into a toiling mode. Have nonstop. I go like 3, 4, 5 hours just working. See, you got to take breaks, because if you don't stop and refresh yourself, then you get into toiling and being weary, and your mindset deteriorates. It does. So don't allow it to happen. So work becomes labor when you do or carry more than you can or more than you should without the help and the strength of God. We do not rest from our work. We rest in our work. Amen? So rest isn't inactivity, but rest is gaining strength from God. Let me give you now this final thought here, using the letters R-E-S-T to define or help you think more about what rest is. The R stands for return to God, use the power of another. So in whatever you're struggling right now, think about right now an area you struggle. All right, it could be whatever it is. Just think about something that troubles you. Now, in what way can you return to God in that struggle? It may be forgiveness, forgiving somebody. It may be, if it's a personal matter, it may be talking to somebody. You know, get your heart and mind clear. Get your questions answered. That could be the way in which you return to God by doing what God said. If you have aught with somebody, go talk to him. Or God said, forgive people and forget. E stands for expect renewal through being refreshed in the Lord. Now, you can't be renewed if you don't stop, slow down. You cannot be renewed if you do not slow down and rest physically. Amen. You got to slow down. You got to stop for seasons. You got to sleep, eat, recreate, do other things than your work or for all your pressure. Right? So that's important. S stands for see the new way God is showing you. I began the message talking about the importance of seeing what God is saying. Many times, if you would stop and think for a little while, go back over your notes, you will remember something you forgot. There's something that you were clear about that God showed you that you've since forgotten. You've gone away from a direction God gave you. Well, your breakthrough sometimes comes in seeing the way that God is showing you, relying less on your own strength and more on God's strength. And finally, T is to testify to the goodness of God. Tell someone about what God has done for you. When you share with somebody what God has done, two things happen. First, you glorify God. I mean, you're giving God the glory. And second, you may encourage somebody. It's amazing how a testimony is what someone needed to hear. The fact you shared how God helped you lets them know, you know, God can help me too. If he did that for you, he loves me the same, he'll do the same for me. So these are just some ways in which we can allow the Lord to help us rest in him, use the power of another, and ride the wave of God's grace and power. Less effort from you, more power from God. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Father, thank you.